Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The message today comes from the gospel reading that we just heard, and I'd like to reread the first part of it. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the desert. And Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. This is God's word. See, in the early days of creation, Satan entered into the kingdom of the world. And he claimed man as his own. He trespassed into God's creation and turned it into a physical battlefield for his own spiritual war. And what was on the line was nothing less than the redemption of man, God's creation, the one that he proclaimed was very good. Man had been corrupted with sin because of Satan and must now be saved. That salvation is completely beyond man's control. And so in this way, the account that we just read of this man, it provides a glimpse into the unseen world that is rarely visible to us here on earth. We know it exists. We know it exists because of passages like these. Because we can see the effects of sin throughout the world. But so much is still hidden from us. But this account tears a veil between us and this unseen spiritual realm. Even if that tear is small, we're offered a glimpse behind the curtain. Of course, we're prohibited from viewing it completely. We can't view upon the full glory of heaven. We can't gaze upon the full glory of God. And we can't look upon the full horror of hell. But the evil that we do see is frightening indeed. It's an evil that was never supposed to pierce the veil. But because Satan has entered into God's creation, and because we are powerless against him, Jesus enters it as well. He doesn't pause in anticipation of any defense that we might attempt. He doesn't even suggest that we participate, for he knows our inabilities to even defend ourselves. He enters the battlefield alone, and he fights for the greatest victory ever conceived. He fights for our redemption. And this is exactly what we see in this account. It's a small battle. It's the reclamation of a single soul. But it's a soul that was created by God, lost to Satan, and reclaimed once again. And we'll see this play out repeatedly all throughout Jesus' ministry. And it'll reach a climax on the cross. For it's there that the battle is won, that all souls created by God and lost to Satan are redeemed. And it's there that the victory will be offered to each one of us to receive. There's also another equally important point that I'd like to discuss. You see, up to the point where I stopped reading, we see the power of God on display. We see the power over Satan. His power over the demons. He commands them with just his word. But he doesn't stop there. After exercising them, what does he do next? What happens to the man after this? Because this is a micro story of a much greater story, that same question can be asked of each one of us. What happens to us after Jesus defeats sin through his death on the cross? You see, God's mission, it's incomplete if it ends with just the expulsion of all evil. Where would we be if it ended with Jesus dead on the cross? Of course, it doesn't end there. Jesus hasn't just come to defeat Satan. Listen to the rest of the passage. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And then people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. You see, Jesus didn't come just to defeat Satan. Entering the physical realm wouldn't have been necessary if that was his entire goal. Now, Jesus came to defeat Satan, to remove him and the effects of sin from our creation. Yes. But once that had been accomplished, he also came to fill the void that was left. See, in this passage, you see exactly that play out. First, he commands the demons to depart. And then he fills the man with himself. And for us, the same thing happens in our baptism. The power of sin and death is first removed. Our sins are forgiven. But then, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like a vessel that is first emptied of all that is bad, that is completely poured out, but then filled with all that is good. So where did this all leave this man? Well, it left him fully restored. It left him fully healed, fully filled. And it left him free from the chains of evil and sitting at the feet of Jesus. His conqueror, his Savior. It left him with all the blessings of God. And though he continued to be powerless against Satan, he also continued to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was through that relationship that he found confidence, that Satan and his demons would no longer find space in which to dwell. The same question can be asked of us. Where does this leave us? It leaves us fully restored, fully healed, and fully filled. It leaves us free from the chains of evil and sitting at the feet of Jesus, our conqueror, our Savior. It leaves us with all the blessings of God. And though we continue to be powerless against Satan's attack, we also continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's through this relationship that we find confidence that Satan and his demons are powerless against us. So when we peek through the veil, and when we gaze upon the evil, we know that we're still powerless. We know this. But even though we are powerless against it, God is not. Well, we can also peek through that same veil and gaze upon heaven and the glory of God. And even though we know that we are undeserving of claiming that which we see, God is not. And we can hold on with confidence that it is our destination, that this is what we can claim. Not because we deserve it, not because we earned it, but because the one who does and who did has promised it to us. Here's the bottom line. Although we're powerless to stop Satan, we're not powerless to stop God. He has sent his Son to defeat the powers of evil, to destroy the sting of sin and death, and to reclaim us as his own. And he gives this victory to us. He gives this victory to you. But he doesn't force you to take it. It's yours to reject. So I leave you with this question. Would you rather spend your days focused on the battlefield with Satan, fighting a war you are ill-equipped to engage in? Or would you rather receive the victory for a war that has already been won? Maybe a simpler way to ask this question might be this. You're destined to spend eternity with your victor. Which victor will that be? Please pray with me. Lord, we praise you for your love and faithfulness towards us, your children. We praise you for being a perfect, holy, trustworthy God that is bigger than all the evil we experience here on earth. We ask that you give us eyes to see when evil is before us, hearts to hate evil, and the desire to flee from its presence. We ask that you would not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil and draw us closer to yourself. We ask for the long-expected Jesus to come quickly and make all things new. We ask all of these things in his precious name. Amen.